Good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you. Good to be with you here this day. We've got quite a few that are still gone and out of town, but we're glad you're here. Good to see some visitors with us as well. I'm glad that you're with us. Spiritual truth. What is that? The emphasis here is on spiritual truth. It seems to be kind of a nebulous term in that spiritual truth can be whatever you want it to be. Well, in the eyes of some, it seems that many do not have a good handle on what truth means. Well, for some do not want to tell the truth, believing that a fabricated untruth is just as good. And there are some who do not tell the truth because of what it is. They don't like or appreciate what truth may say. And that sometimes it's easier to make up a story than to just go with truth, or to tell maybe just a portion of truth in such a way that it leads to a conclusion that we find more favorable. And then some look at truth and as kind of a relative term, that maybe truth depends on the one that's giving the answer and what they may believe. Or that truth can be whatever we want it to believe. I've heard that before. Yeah, truth is just whatever you want it to be. And others say that truth can never be ascertained, that we can just never know for sure, that it's too hard for us to establish. And it's led some to just give up on knowing truth. And again, I'm speaking specifically about spiritual truth. Really, is that the best we can come up with? If we want to talk about truth and spiritual truth, all of these different ideas that maybe we can just not know, or truth is what you want it to be, or truth is whatever you want it to be to lead to a certain end result. Really, that's the best we can come up with for spiritual truth. That there is just no absolute, that we can never really know what truth is. And maybe it's because we have been introduced to so many false truths that we become wary when anyone claims to have truth. Because here again, even those who deliver just a half-truth likely are telling us, here it is, this is the truth of the matter. But it might not be. In the religious realm, some have found no sound footing upon which to base truth. And I would grant that there are many religious people who have become cynical even about truth. That there are too many purveyors of their own brand of truth who have clouded the minds of many who maybe really want to know truth, who are still asking, what is truth? Where do we go to find truth? Who has truth? There is a need of finding a solid source for truth. But where can we go to find assurance of what God calls truth? That's where we need to get. There is that need of finding that means, that ability to know what God says is truth. And the only safe source is to consider what God says about truth. And so the real question then becomes, do you want to know truth? And are you willing to listen to God? Because again, there are some who would say, yes, I want to know truth. And yet when they read truth, they decide, no, that's not for me. Or that's not the way I was taught, or that's not what I believe, or even some who would say that's not what I want truth to be. The fact of the matter is that finding the answer to truth is not a new question, but is one that was given an answer years ago. And again, I'm talking about finding a credible answer to what is spiritual truth. And that answer came from God. And the question again has to be, are you willing to accept? Are you willing to listen to the truth that comes from God? I want us to think about some things that Jesus said, the Son of God. We're going to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, in fact, a series of passages we look at from the book of John. The Apostle John has a number of things to say about truth as it is connected to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John chapter 16, when Jesus had already announced to his apostles that he would be leaving them, he promised not to leave them alone, but he promised them truth, that he would deliver to them truth. And his guarantee to them was that the Holy Spirit would lead them in all truth. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We begin reading at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and to see me no more, and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. If you're looking for truth, spiritual truth, would you accept what Jesus has to say? Because it was Jesus who said, I tell you the truth. You know, I've heard those words from men before, so have you. We have all heard someone say, I'm telling you the truth, but we find out in time there was nothing true about what they were saying at all. But here is Jesus, the Son of God, who says, I tell you the truth. The words of the Holy Spirit are powerful and able to discern matters of sin, matters of righteousness and judgment, and the source of those words, just like the source of the words of Jesus, is the Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus just told us. Truth comes by the will of God, and we need to have confidence in what God says in His Word because it is authoritative, it is accurate, it has saving power because it is truth. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. There are several passages again here in the book of John that I want us to look at. Truth had already been proven to be the focus of what Jesus had to say and what he taught. Truth was his purpose. Truth defined who he was. And it was fitting for Jesus to say, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And so the point is Jesus is well qualified to say the things that he does. Are you willing to listen to truth? Are you willing to accept truth? Simple questions, honest questions that we have to deal with ourselves and answer for ourselves. In the book of John, chapter 1, it's being said of Jesus here in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus is filled with grace and with truth. Because of who he is the Son of God. In chapter 8, John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking now. John chapter 8 and verse 31 beginning, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus already had a lot to say about truth. He'd already been teaching. He'd already been preaching the news of the kingdom. He'd already identified himself even as being the Son of God, that he is and he represented truth in every way. In the same chapter, verse 51, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. I tell you the truth, remember? That's what Jesus said. He was the one who was in a place and a position and had such authority to say such things. I tell you the truth. And here are some of the words revealed through the Holy Spirit by Jesus about truth. Chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 48. It's Jesus speaking again. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Think about what we lose. Think about what we turn away from when we do not take and accept and obey the words of Jesus. If we reject Jesus, we reject truth. You cannot separate truth from Jesus. Jesus is the one who tells us the truth. And everlasting life is found only in obedience to His word. Let's understand the power of what Jesus is saying. It was just a little while later in chapter 14, where in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, identifying the place and the position of Jesus. And that if we want to have a place before the Father, we have to know Jesus, because He is the one who has come and who has given this message. He is the one who tells the truth. In John chapter 17, and we begin reading at verse 7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them to them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have already known that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. This is the middle of the prayer that Jesus was praying for His apostles. And has identified, these are the ones who've listened to me. They've listened to my words. Jesus is praying to the Father. They've listened to the words that you've given me for them. These are the ones. Verse 9. Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them were lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Here were some, these apostles, who stood out as different and separate from the world because they listened to the words of Jesus. They had become convinced and knew full well that Jesus was the one who was telling the truth. It's not as though there were not religious people in the world of the day. There were many, of many different kinds. But they understood and identified that Jesus was the one who was the Son of God. Jesus was the one who was telling them the truth. And they were willing to listen to what Jesus said. If we want to know the truth, if we want to be accepted by Him, we have to listen to the words of Jesus. And just as promised, Jesus delivered truth. He'd already promised that. We've read already. He promised that to His disciples, He was not going to leave them alone. He promised them truth, and Jesus delivered truth through His apostles and inspired writers. It would be several years later, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The apostle Paul has penned these words. He gives us some more insight to the truth that is delivered. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we begin at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Some interesting distinctions that are made, isn't there? You know that we cannot know the spirit of someone else unless they reveal to us their spirit. The same would be true of God, but God has, in fact, revealed His Spirit. He has revealed to us words so that we can know the way and the will of God. Just as Jesus had promised, truth can be found. Even as Jesus had said, He would send the Helper, the Spirit of truth, to lead the apostles, to guide them in the things that they would have to say, the things that they would do. And now we know the truth that comes from God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, you might recall, 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter says something very similar to this. In the last part of that chapter, 2 Peter in chapter 1, verse 20 beginning, Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, giving us the will and the words of God. That's the emphasis. That which is the words which came from God, not man's words. And thinking some more about Peter and some things that he would have to say. Peter, one of the apostles that lived and worked and walked with Jesus day by day, heard what Jesus had to say about truth. And he wrote some things to the Christians about the words of truth. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we are going. In his mind was the blessing of the sacrifice of the Lord. That seems to be part of the context of what he's saying in 1 Peter chapter 1. And he reminded these here who were already disciples, he reminded them of the sacrifice that was offered. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Inasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your futile conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. A couple of points we just pull from the text. Obeying the truth was something that was very much on the mind of the apostle. And I have thought, and I've tried to imagine how, that had to have been a message that the apostles told over and over again, because surely it was on their mind, because it was emphasized by the Lord. It was emphasized by the Lord so much. Remember Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. Jesus was the one who emphasized that to his disciples and his apostles. Now here we have the apostles who are emphasizing the same thing. In this text, for souls to be purified, we might notice that one must obey the truth delivered by the Spirit. If our souls are to be purified in such a way that we stand whole and right before God, we will have to follow the words that He has given us to do that. We find that. We find the truth in the words delivered by Jesus. And this brings our mind to the absolute need of obeying the truth. Because to not obey the truth, we would find ourselves without our souls purified, as these disciples had found. Because without doing so, without obeying the truth, we cannot be purified, or that is, our souls cannot stand whole and clean before God. And obeying that truth is what leads one to be born again. Contextually, that's what he's talking about. Through the Word of God, again, the point of emphasis. Being identified as one who purified their souls did not happen separate from obeying the truth. You see, that's all connected in the text. And the point of emphasis is that we must obey the truth, and that we have to respond to the truth, and we need to reject the concepts that come from the minds of men, because that is not truth. That is not telling us or delivering to us the will and the mind of God. It is Jesus who tells us the truth. And when somebody else tells you, as we hear sometime, I tell you the truth, it has to be listened to and considered very carefully, because these are words coming from the minds of men. And it may not be true. And if it's different than what God has delivered, then we know it's not true. It is Jesus who said, I tell you the truth. And yet, there are still some who say, what is truth? And how can we know truth? Well, are you willing to listen to Jesus? We're back to that question at the beginning again. Are we willing to listen to Jesus? If we're not willing to listen to Jesus, then we will not know truth. If we are not willing to listen to Jesus and the words that he has delivered, the words he spoke, or the words that has been delivered through his apostles and inspired writers, if we're not willing to listen to that, then no. We cannot know truth. There is a great difference between man's concept of truth and salvation and God's. I suppose we could use a lot of different examples of the difference between what man says and what God says. We can talk about worship. We can talk about the structure of the church. There's a lot of different things. Let's just think about salvation for just a moment. And we see that there's a big difference between what God says and what the minds of men, what has been delivered. Man's concept of truth versus God, they cannot both represent truth. Not when they're saying something different. Sometimes truth is obscured by what is untrue, by what is popular belief among men. And we need to be careful. Because sometimes even in what the minds of men have delivered to us, there is some elements of truth, and it becomes more confusing to us. But we have to listen to just what God says. And keep in mind what we just read, from Peter, for souls to be purified, one must obey truth. And that truth comes through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Isn't it interesting that, especially those of us that are gaining more experience day by day, as time goes on, we continue to open up the same book and it reads the same way every day. The will and the word, the doctrine delivered in God's book is always the same because, well, as the Hebrew writer would say, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And yet the doctrines that come from the minds of men are ever-changing. One reason they're so confusing is because of that. Ever changing. But add to this something that James says. James chapter 1, would you look with me? In James chapter 1, we begin in the latter part of that chapter, James chapter 1. Add to what James records about God's word and the saving of our souls. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Receiving the word. It's not just hearing the word. It's doing something with it. Or as Peter said, obeying that word. Receiving the word which is able to save your souls. A priority in life. I hope it is for us. It has to be. It must be. It absolutely has. Does truth make a difference? Well, God says it does. Everything we're looking at here, God says that truth makes a difference. And so we have to be keen on knowing and obeying the truth, doing what He says, and we see the power of truth in doing that. One illustration. Just considering the facts for a moment. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now here's a fact. Verse 1. And you He has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. The fact, the truth of the matter is that, well, walking in sins means that we are separated from God. The apostle is writing to those now who have become Christians, but he says, you know, one time you walked in sin. Yeah, at one time you were dead. It's interesting the way he says this. He says that you know, now you're alive, but you were dead. I mean, it's interesting just to think about going from being dead to alive. It's not something we see in the physical, is it? And yet he's making a very important, emphatic point here about you were dead, but now you have been made alive. Well, how so? It keeps going in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look, there's something here that's so incredibly good for us. This gift of God, this grace that He has extended to us, that gives us this hope of going from being dead to alive. And so we keep reading a little bit more here, verse 6 we've just read. Back to my text here. Verse 6 again, and he says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show that the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For grace you have been saved through faith. We would never want to diminish in any way the power of God's grace and the importance of faith. Faith is the foundation of who we are spiritually. Faith is really what causes us to respond. Even as James was talking about being doers of the word, without there being faith, I would suggest we do nothing. That it's the faith that causes us to respond, to work, to do, to be the people of God. Now, here's a problem. And see, the point being is we're trying to consider and keep in mind Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. That Jesus has promised to give and to deliver all words that we need so that we can know His will. And we've seen where He has done that, confirmed by the apostles that He has done that. And yet sometimes it's by the will of man that even taking the words of Scripture can be used in such a way to say something that I'm not convinced that the Lord meant for it to be said. Some might even turn to a passage like this and say, see, it's by the grace of God we are saved. And to that I would say, amen. But what they're meaning by that is by the grace of God we are saved, and there's nothing else that's necessary, that by grace alone we are saved. Or maybe some would go to the point of saying, by God's grace and by faith we are saved. And to that again I would say, indeed, we are saved by God's grace and His faith. But they want to say that that's all that is needed to save us. See, here's where it gets harder. This is where it gets confusing to so many. Because when people say, what is truth? Because they've heard this concept and this idea, and they've heard this preacher over here say this. And it gets confusing. Let's take all of the words that we can find. Let's consider all that the Lord has given and delivered to us. Because He's the one that tells us the truth. We can have confidence in what He says. Look, when we think about man's plan regarding salvation, and there are many, we're just thinking for a moment about one here as a point of illustration. Many would agree that we are dead in sins. We've just read that from Ephesians chapter 2. That we are dead in sins. And there are some who would say that by God's grace or by faith only, or some even might say by doing a number of works, we are saved, we are made alive. They might even try to use this passage to make some points along that line. Need to read the fuller text. But here's where some would go. That they were dead in sins, but now they're alive. And then some would go on to say, you know, at some point, though, you still need to be baptized. Now, I'll tell you, this is where the argument really falls down to me. That we're going to take someone who's alive and we're going to bury them. Now, that doesn't even make logical sense. I mean, we know, but we don't take live people, at least rational people, do not take live people and bury them. And yet some would say, well, we're saved by grace, we're saved by faith, we're saved by works alone. But we still need to be baptized. Now, wait a minute. If these things alone make us alive, why would we be baptized? Well, then some could say, well, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized should be saved. They're trying to make a different point with that if they bring that up. But I would say, I agree. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized would be saved. Those are connected together. God's plan's a little bit different than what comes from the minds of men. And again, I'm just wanting to illustrate the point. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Are we willing to take the will and the words of Jesus and the words that are delivered by Jesus and through God's Holy Spirit? Are we willing to take those words? Are we willing to listen to what Jesus has to say? God's plan says those who are dead can have hope of life. Because God has extended His grace. And by faith in His Word, we can respond and find life. Sins washed away. And I said to Saul of Tarsus, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. Sins are not washed away outside or without baptism. And then, you know, we do not have to stay dead in sins, here is the point. We can all see and acknowledge that we are dead in sins, but we don't have to stay there. Because, you know, Scripture goes on and tells us more. We can be made alive, baptized, buried with Christ in baptism. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in verse 3, most of us know the passage. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And therefore we were buried with Him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. There's a number of books that have been written through the years that would teach man's plan of salvation by grace or faith or by works alone that man is saved. And some would go on to teach that a man still needs to be baptized. You're dead, but you're made alive, but now you need to be baptized. I don't understand that. But God's plan in its entirety and its fullness teach that indeed we are dead in sins, but we don't have to stay there. We can make a change. We, because of God's grace and the plan that He has extended to us, and by faith and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that would cause us to respond in such a way to be faithful to Him. Indeed, we would be baptized. We would be buried into death. We'd be buried into the baptism of Jesus. That the dead are buried. We understand that. The cemetery is filled across the road over here of those who have died and are buried. But spiritually, truth would teach us that we can be dead in sins, but we can be buried, we can be baptized, buried with Jesus in baptism, and raised to a new life, to walk in newness of life. made alive. And I just use this maybe as just an illustration. As we began talking in the beginning about, you know, what is truth, spiritual truth, there's a lot of different ideas that people have. There's a lot of different ideas that men have about what is truth. We need to be the ones who are content and satisfied following the truth of Scripture, because it is Jesus who is the one who said, "I tell you the truth." What are we going to do with that truth? Are we going to be willing to accept that truth and nothing else? That alone. Because if we're willing to do that, it'll take us from being dead to being made alive. And that's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the call of Christ, we hope that you will respond. We hope that you will want to be counted among the number of those who are the people of God, buried in baptism for remission of sins. If you're a child of God that has struggled in faith and you have stumbled, we pray that you will repent of your sins and confess your sins. Can we help you? We pray with you. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?